Chapter 25, Betrayed. When everybody filed into the classroom on Monday morning, I saw Billy go up to Molly's desk and whisper something. I couldn't make out his words or her reply, but I saw them both glance surreptitiously at me. I averted my eyes and sat down miserably at my desk. The morning passed in the same way all recent mornings had passed. Dorothy was the only person who still treated me exactly as she always had. Thank goodness we shared a desk. At playtime, after I'd given away the disgusting bottle of tepid milk, Dorothy and I went to the garden. We had arranged to meet all the garden monitors there, but nobody else turned up, so we swept out the shed, and neither of us mentioned the fact that the others hadn't come. After break, Miss Marchall set us yet another comprehension exercise. Just as we were about to start, Mrs. Carragher, the infants teacher, came in and said something to her. "Get on with your work, everybody," said Miss Marshall. "I'm just popping over to the infants." The comprehension passage was an extract of the poem called Hiawatha. I loved the rhythm of it. Something in the hazy distance, something in the mists of morning, loomed and lifted from the water, now seemed floating, now seemed flying, coming nearer, nearer, nearer. With the teacher gone, the noise level grew and grew. I tried to lose myself in the poem, but people were getting out of their seats and milling around, and I gradually became aware of a group gathered in front of Miss Marshall's desk. Molly was there, and so was Nancy. They were craning their heads to read a piece of paper that Billy was holding. They were staring at it, whispering and darting glances at me. Had Billy written another list, accusing me of more treachery? I caught Molly's eye. She flushed guiltily. Billy caught my eye too and shoved the paper at Molly. As it changed hands, I saw the handwriting. My mother's handwriting. For a moment I sat there, disbelieving. Then, boiling with rage, I sprang out of my seat, dashed up the aisle and snatched the letter from Molly. "You traitor!" I screamed. "You evil thief! How dare you! How dare you go through my private things, my only things, my precious things, the only things I have from my parents? How dare you? How could you?" Molly's face was white. Her eyes were huge and terrified. The room was utterly silent. The class held its breath. "Miss Marshall's coming," somebody hissed. Everyone scurried to their seats. When Miss Marshall walked back in, I was bending silently over my books like everybody else. But inside, I was a boiling cauldron of rage and hurt. I didn't speak for the rest of the morning. Dorothy whispered, "Are you all right?" And I nodded. Apart from that, I had no communication with anybody. When we were being dismissed after dinner, I headed towards the big elm tree in the far corner of the school field. "Anna, wait!" It was Molly. I kept my head down and quickened my pace. "Anna, please wait." "Go away." "Please, just let me talk to you. Leave me alone." I reached the tree. It grew right next to the fence. There was nowhere to go from here. Molly caught up with me. She reached out for my arm and I shook her hand away. "Get off me." "Anna, please, I'm so sorry." I glanced at her face and saw, to my surprise, that she had tears in her eyes. "I'm so sorry. I was such an idiot. I should never have taken that letter. It was Billy. He just kept on and on about you being a spy, and he had all these reasons, and I thought, well, we don't have any actual evidence that you're not." A sound came out of my mouth, a harsh, explosive sound. She hurried on. "He said it was my patriotic duty to bring in one of your letters, just in case, so he could look at it and see if it was in code. He said he knew how to decipher codes. I told him you weren't a spy, but he said it couldn't do any harm, just to check, and I owed it to my country not to take any chances. I'm so sorry. It all sounds so stupid now. I should never have taken any notice of him. He just keeps going on, and I was an idiot." I looked at her pathetic, tearful face, and my boiling anger and hurt turned into cold, hard hatred. "I'm finished with you, Molly Dean. You've done the worst thing you could possibly have done, and you know it. You know how much those letters mean to me. You know they're all I have from my parents, but you just don't care. I do care. I just... You probably enjoyed doing it. It probably made you feel important. You've never really wanted me here, have you? You pretended to be so friendly and helpful and nice, but you've always secretly resented me. You don't like it when I do well at school. You even accuse me of trying to steal your parents, as if I'd want to do that. I have my own parents. All I've ever wanted is to live with them. And why on earth would I want to help Hitler? You know Hitler hates Jews. You know he put my father in a concentration camp. Why would I be on his side? You're as bad as Billy. You're as bad as the Nazis. You're a horrible person and I'm never going to speak to you again. Molly was sobbing now, tears streaming down her face. Please, Anna, please, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I truly am. I will never forgive you, Molly Dean, I said. Never. Not for as long as I live.